Welcome to the Living Healthy Podcast, a podcast dedicated to health, fitness, exercise, medicine, diet, nutrition, as well as eating clean, organic, and non-GMO foods. Let's live the journey through weight loss, weight management, and accomplishing goals. I'm your host, Eddie Randall. Thank you for tuning in to Season 4, Episode 2 of the Living Healthy Podcast. Your continued listening and your continued support are greatly appreciated. Please feel free to check out the latest merchandise at the Living Healthy Podcast store. The link is in the description of the podcast. The skin is the largest organ of the human body. We tend not to think of it that way, as we generally regard organs as being inside our body. Nonetheless, the skin is an organ. For some, we tend to overlook taking intricate care of our skin, but it's very important to implement and practice a skincare routine. Skincare is not just for women. It's ideal for men to care for our skin as well. As men, we may not go to the levels of detail that most women do in regard to makeup and striving for younger looking and softer feeling skin. But maintaining healthy skin is important, especially when we shave, and in comparison to women, we often tend to have careers where we are exposed to certain workplace toxins. Our skin can absorb chemicals, and although our skin is waterproof, tough, and resilient, it's important to do the best that we can to take care of our skin. On top of that, as we age, collagen breaks down, and our skin becomes thinner and more vulnerable. While aging is inevitable, it's important to do the best that we can to care for our skin. This includes a skincare routine as well as eating foods that benefit the skin. Tonight, I will address common care routines as well as foods and exercises all aimed at caring for our skin. Tonight's podcast is entitled Augmenting Skincare: What Men and Women Can Do to Take Care of the Body's Largest Organ. Understanding Your Skin. To understand skincare, it's important to understand the skin. The layers of the skin have specific functions. In addition, some areas of the skin are thicker than others. For example, the soles of the feet and palms of the hand have thicker skin. In general, the skin has multiple layers, but for simplicity, I'm going to talk about the three main skin layers: the epidermis, the dermis, and the hypodermis. The epidermis is the top layer of the skin. This is the number one barrier between us and the world we live in. The epidermis is the thinnest layer of the skin and contains five individual layers. The epidermis is responsible for skin color. It also creates new skin cells, and they make their way to the top layer to replace dead skin cells. What I found amazing is that a great portion of household dust is actually dead skin cells. Also, the epidermis protects the skin from ultraviolet radiation. The dermis is the next layer, and this is the middle layer of the skin. This layer contains two individual layers of its own, and those layers contain blood vessels, fat cells, hair follicles, nerve vessels, receptors for touch, and cells that work with the immune system. The dermis transplants nutrients to the outer layer, which is the epidermis. It also helps to control body temperature via the sweat glands to release heat from the body by sweating. The nerve vessels allow you to feel sensations. This works with the brain to allow you to type, feel pain, grasp a grape without crushing it, and grab a rope so you can climb. The next layer is the hypodermis. This layer is the deepest layer of the skin, and it connects the skin to bones, muscle, and tissue. This is where adipose tissue is stored and helps the body against trauma. It provides structural support and also insulation to keep you warm in the winter. Blood vessels in the hypodermis can undergo thermoregulation. This is done to help cool you down in hotter temperatures. This adipose tissue can also be used as a reserve for energy when the body needs it. what causes damage to the skin. The outermost layer of the skin is the most affected by the outside world through cuts, scrapes, bruises, and infections. Aside from that, there are other things in everyday life that can damage your skin. Knowing what they are and taking steps to initiate proper care and prevention is the number one thing that we can do to protect our body's largest organ. Now, ladies, don't hate me for this one, but makeup is one of the biggest things that can damage the skin. Heavy makeup can prevent the pores on your skin from breathing and actually cause acne and wrinkles. That being said, in order for this to happen, the makeup has to be worn for a very long period of time. That's why it's vital to completely wash off the makeup and moisturize your face at the end of your day. I will touch on routines later on in the podcast. In addition, cheaper makeup brands tend to have more questionable chemicals like formaldehyde and chromium, which are linked to cancer. Air pollutants can damage the skin as well. Polycystic aromatic hydrocarbons result from smoking cigarettes, burning trash, bonfires, campfires, cooking, car exhaust, and aircraft exhaust. These same hydrocarbons are also used as dyes and used in plastics that are used on a daily basis. Skin damage can occur from prolonged exposure to hydrocarbons. Free radicals from environmental exposure can damage the skin as well. This can lead to wrinkles, acne, oxidative stress, skin cancer, dermatitis, psoriasis, and uneven pigmentation. Although getting vitamin D from the sun is great for the body, ultraviolet radiation in exorbitant amounts can lead to liver spots, cancers, as well as giving your skin a leathery appearance. PFAS, or polyfluoroalkyl substances, are deemed forever chemicals because they are used in so many products and they are in the soil, water, the air, and in dust, and they are literally impossible to get rid of. PFAS are everywhere, and unfortunately, they are in the majority of water systems. Some makeup brands include the use of PFAS. They're used in makeup to allow the makeup to be waterproof and to make the skin look smooth. Using expired makeup and skincare products is not a good idea either, as these can cause damage to your skin. Let's look at old makeup, for example. When makeup reaches its expiration date, the preservatives begin to break down and the consistency begins to change. This is the perfect breeding ground for bacteria and fungus. By using expired makeup, you could be applying bacteria and fungus to your face on a daily basis. This can clog your pores and an infection could develop. In addition, the mucous membranes in your eyes are put at risk every time you reuse your mascara. The tube becomes a breeding ground as a moist and dark environment. It is recommended to throw out your mascara every 3 months or so. Also, lipstick works the same way. Lipstick can pick up seemingly innocuous bacteria from the lips and are given a chance to grow once the cap is placed back on it. This is especially true if you reapply lipstick after eating. It's recommended to throw your lipstick out every 6 to 8 months. Powder makeup tends to be a bit safer as the powder is dry and tends not to provide an environment to breed pathogens. Not using the same pad or brush to apply the makeup helps to prevent contamination from touching oils and moisture on the skin and then touching the powder. As I mentioned, powder makeup is safer as you can hold on to the powder makeup for a year and a half to 2 years. Sleeping in makeup is not a good idea, as the pores of the skin need to breathe, so it's vital to thoroughly remove your makeup, wash your face, and apply moisturizer at the end of every day. Poor nutrition can impact your skin in huge ways. An unbalanced diet can contribute to premature wrinkles, premature aging, acne, dry skin, eczema, and skin sagging. Processed foods and high-salt foods can cause dehydration and cause your body to draw water from your cells and your skin. Later on in the podcast, I will touch on foods that benefit the skin. Aside from that, it's vital to drink plenty of water. Water is one of the simplest things that we can do to improve our overall health, and drinking plenty of water significantly promotes skin health. Alcohol also affects the skin. Alcohol dehydrates the skin, causing lines and puffiness under the eyes. Alcohol also causes a deficiency in vitamin A. This vitamin is vital for healthy skin. Vitamin A fights wrinkles, acne, and stimulates collagen production. We all face stress on a daily basis, and we would not be able to build strength and character if we did not undergo some form of stress. That being said, there are forms of mental stress that can do damage to your skin. This type of stress could be anything that you're going through, such as a divorce, financial issues, as well as employment concerns. Stress can cause an inflammatory response on your skin. For example, a young man could become flushed and nervous while going on a first date with a young lady that he really likes. Another example is having clammy and sweaty palms while going on a job interview. Stress on your skin can also cause hives, eczema, and even fever blisters. It should go without saying that not caring for your skin can also cause damage. The majority of men are prone to be guilty of this more than women. For the majority of men, the most we do about skincare is putting on aftershave once we're done shaving and occasionally some lotion. But it's important for men to have a solid routine. The main thing is to find a soap that will not dry out the skin and a moisturizer and or lotion with the least amount of harmful chemicals that'll benefit the skin as well. I'll go into detail about lotions, moisturizers, and grooming products a little later in the podcast. Routine skincare for women. It's no secret that women take significantly better care of their skin than we men do. The majority of women have a skincare routine that they stick to that works for them. I'm briefly going to touch on the basics. Perhaps the most important thing is to have a good cleanser. This strips away dirt, impurities, and cleans out the pores. Try to get one that is not alcohol-based, as it can strip away natural oils necessary for healthy skin. A good toner will help to remove anything that the cleanser left behind. Toners protect your skin, hydrate your skin, and they act as a primer or base for the next steps in your skincare routine. Any lady can use toner, but toner is especially useful if you have acne, dry skin, or oily skin. Serum can be used next. There are a plethora of serums on the market. These are oil and water-based products that contain concentrated ingredients that are meant to be absorbed into the skin to deliver the desired effect. For instance, some of the most common serums are ones that are formulated to reduce wrinkles, combat acne, hydrate, and improve your overall complexion, and they also have ones for sensitive skin. These are things that have high amounts of a compound such as vitamin C, vitamin B3, resveratrol, and retinol. These are all aimed to help improve healthy skin, all while delivering the desired look you want. No one wants bags under their eyes, and there are ways to reduce them by using a good eye cream. There are eye creams that contain caffeine, which can promote blood circulation for under the eye, helping to reduce the look of bags and dark spots. Eye creams with SPF can help to reduce sun damage and lines under the eyes. Vitamin C eye creams can help fight free radicals and give you clearer, healthier, and smoother skin. Finally, some sunscreen would significantly benefit you if you're going to be out at the beach or will be out in the sun for an extended period of time. This also applies to black women as well. Although less melanin puts a woman at a higher risk for developing skin cancer, being of a darker complexion does provide more protection, but it does not mean that you're completely immune and should ignore sunscreen. Darker complected women and black women should also use sunscreen when going to the beach or if you plan on being in the sun for any extended period of time. This would also include working out in the garden or any outside sport or activity. Lots of ladies get manicures and or pedicures by professional shops. Others may paint their own nails. Just so you're aware, there is a greater chance than not that your favorite nail polish contains very dangerous chemicals. Anyone who has smelled nail polish or has walked by a professional nail shop in the mall and has smelled that rank chemical smell knows what I'm talking about. The majority of those chemicals that you're smelling are very bad for you. What's worse is although nails are made of hard keratin, they're permeable, and any chemical that comes into contact with your nails can get absorbed into your bloodstream. Now, the FDA regulates nail polish, but they're not as strict on manufacturers as they are on those who produce food and drugs. Rather, they regulate nail polish manufacturers by requiring them to warn you of potential dangers if the product is misused, rather than listing every type of dangerous or potentially dangerous chemical. As an example, they say something to the effect of, warning, poisonous if ingested. If ingested, do not induce vomiting. Immediately contact poison control. Another example is, warning, product is flammable. Now, these warnings hold true as nail polish is lacquer, which is essentially paint. Now, from what I've seen, some nail polishes actually have ingredient labels, while others have just warning labels. On top of that, nail polishes are not tested for safety. The FDA does not require them to test nail polishes, so it's essentially made and then sold to the public. Some of the toxic chemicals that make up nail polish include formaldehyde, toluene, camphor, xylene, and DDP or dibutyl phthalate. Formaldehyde is used in nail polish as a preservative and a hardener. It's a known carcinogen, a respiratory irritant, and a skin irritant. Toluene is used as a solvent, and it works to keep nail polish smooth. It causes toxicity in the heart, liver, kidney, and lungs. This same toluene is also an ingredient in gasoline. Camphor is used in nail polish to make it shiny and flexible. Camphor causes liver damage and it also is a neurological disruptor. Xylene is used in nail polish as a drying agent and as a preservative. It is also an ingredient in floor varnish and gasoline. It's a known carcinogen, a respiratory irritant, and it's been linked to antibiotic resistance. Dibutyl phthalate, or DBP, is used to make nail polish stable and flexible. It's a known carcinogen, an endocrine disruptor, and it's been linked to reproductive disorders. Because nail polish is heavily rooted in our culture, it's one of the many pressures in regard to beauty standards that are placed on women. Thankfully, there are safer alternatives to the common run-of-the-mill, potentially carcinogenic nail polish. I've included a couple of links in the description of the podcast if you want to check out some of the non-toxic nail polish options. I want to thank you for supporting me by listening to the Living Healthy Podcast. My podcast is listed on many platforms, including Anchor, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many, many others. Please follow me on Tumblr, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, and Rumble. If you have any questions or topics you'd like me to cover, please don't hesitate to ask. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please contact me at livinghealthy@gmail.com. In addition, please check out the Living Healthy Podcast store. The link is in the description of the podcast. And now back to the show. Routine skincare for men. As men, we need to practice good skincare. It's important that we do it for ourselves, but as an added bonus, women love men with good-looking skin. It's very important to have a dedicated skin routine. A good cleanser does wonders, as men tend to have more industrial jobs where we're exposed to certain impurities in the workplace. A good cleanser helps to remove impurities, dirt, and grime from the skin. A good moisturizer will help to replenish and to strengthen the skin's natural oils. For mustache and beard care, it's important to use a shampoo especially formulated for our beards and mustaches, as the hair on our face is different from the hair on our head. In addition, traditional hand soaps can actually strip away essential oils that benefit our facial hair. There are plenty of products out there. Just try to get ones that are free of parabens, sulfates, and phthalates. When you wash your beard, make sure to pat it dry and do not rub it harshly, as the hair follicles are weaker than normal when they're wet, so it's important to treat it accordingly. After drying, you can follow up with a beard oil to hydrate and replenish oils lost when washing. Also, try to get a balm that contains biotin, which helps to promote hair growth and health. Sunscreen is a must if you're outdoors, which most men are, and it's best to do everything that we can to limit the risk of developing skin cancer. Generalized skincare. Using lotion is one of the simplest things that we can do to help to take care of our skin. Lotion helps to protect the skin by hydrating, and it also helps to lock in moisture. It's ideal to put on lotion after a shower or bath to help replenish the oils. Also, if you have dry, ashy skin, lotion can be your ally. It also helps to soften rough parts of the skin like the knees, elbows, and heels. Some lotions also smell great, which give you a calming effect, which in turn can relax you. So as you can see, lotion has tremendous benefits. That being said, it's important to choose one that is void of questionable chemicals and potential carcinogens. One way to do this is to avoid really cheap lotions. For example, if you see a 16-ounce bottle of lotion that's only $2, you may want to avoid that one. More importantly, pay attention to the chemicals that you should avoid. I'm going to list some of them. What you can do is you can write them down or make a note about them in the notepad on your phone. You can pause the podcast if you'd like and document them. Then when you go shopping, use your phone to take a picture of the ingredient label, enlarge it, and then look at the contents before you buy it. I'm going to touch on a few of those questionable ingredients. The term fragrance, which can be hard to avoid, is one that has loose regulation. The term fragrance can contain as little as 400 different ingredients, and it can go into the thousands. Many of them are potential endocrine disruptors and carcinogens. Mineral oil is considered to be safe by the FDA. However, it can contain carcinogens if it is not properly processed. Phthalates are used to give lotion its creamy consistency, which is fine. However, these same phthalates are also endocrine disruptors that have been linked to asthma, allergies, and insulin resistance. BHT, or butylated hydroxyanisole, is another ingredient to be wary of. BHT is used as a preservative to prevent the lotion from separating. It is a carcinogen, a skin irritant, and it also is an endocrine disruptor. It's important to take care of our feet. We can all benefit from an occasional foot soak. This not only helps to keep the feet soft and clean, but also it has a calming effect to relieve tension from the muscles in our feet. You can use an old-fashioned stainless steel basin if you can find one, or opt for a traditional foot bath with heating and jets. You can use baking soda or Epsom salt in the water. This helps to soothe and soften the feet, helping to remove calluses and dead skin. You could also use apple cider vinegar or white vinegar in the bath as well. The antifungal properties of the acetic acid can help to slow down or prevent fungal growth. The antibacterial properties can also do the same for bacteria. You can also use a pumice stone to help remove calluses and dead rough skin from the heel area. When done, make sure to properly dry the feet and use a good quality lotion void of the chemicals I mentioned earlier, and slip on some warm, comfortable socks and or slippers, and you're good to go. You can also soak your hands in the bathroom sink or plastic wash basin. This can have the same effect as with your feet, as it will soften the skin and help to relieve tension in the hands. Now, if you have any cut, scrape, or scratch anywhere on your skin, especially if you have one somewhere on your hands or fingers, no matter how small or insignificant, it's vital to make sure that you use alcohol to clean the area, then use an antibacterial ointment followed up by a Band-Aid. This may sound trivial and comical, but things like MRSA, E. coli, and necrotizing fasciitis are not trivial and they are not comical. And if you're in the public, touching gas pumps, doorknobs, armrests, shopping carts, and credit card keypads, it's up to each individual to do his or her personal best to try to keep themselves healthy, especially if you have the responsibility of a family to look out for. Your common sense and your practices will allow you to remain healthy so you can provide for your family and address their needs. Skin cancer checks. It is paramount to check your skin for changes in pigment, suspicious looking moles, or any growth or change that looks abnormal. This involves a skin cancer check. Sometimes skin cancer can develop on parts of the body that are not directly exposed to the sun, as the sun is only one of many vectors of developing skin cancer. Get a full-length mirror and a smaller handheld mirror and look around your body to see if you see any abnormal or questionable changes. Make sure to check the soles of the feet and in between the toes and fingers. You could also get your significant other to help you by looking to see if he or she sees anything. Sometimes a second set of eyes can pick up something that you might miss. The American Academy of Dermatology Association posted a mole map. Now, it basically shows you how to properly check your skin for cancer. I've included that link in the description of the podcast, and I would strongly advise checking that out as it is full of very useful information. Things that can help the skin. The good thing is that aside from creams and cleansers, there are other things that we can do to help the skin to be as healthy as possible. As I mentioned, collagen naturally breaks down as we age. The simple act of drinking more water drastically hydrates the skin. It helps it to tighten and balances out the buildup of oils in the skin. It also helps to flush out toxins and balance pH. It's important to try to drink at least 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day, or 64 ounces. If you drink 4 16.9-ounce bottles of water per day, that would pretty much cover you. Now, to spice things up a bit, you could squeeze a teaspoon of lemon juice into each 8-ounce serving. The vitamin C in the lemon can help to reduce wrinkles, reduce puffiness, and boost collagen. You can do the same with apple cider vinegar, as it has antimicrobial properties in it and helps to balance pH levels. If the taste of lemon and water, or apple cider vinegar and water, is difficult to drink, then you could add a teaspoon of Manuka honey to make things a bit more palatable. You can also infuse your water, which is very simple, and I personally know of a few people who do this. This involves getting mason jars and getting things like watermelon, kiwi, pineapple, etc. You simply add them to the mason jar, fill them with water, and then drink them immediately, or allow them to sit for an hour or two to get the maximum taste and maximum vitamin content. I found a great video on YouTube about this, and if you're interested, I've included a link in it in the description of the podcast. There are exercises that can help the skin as well. It boils down to sweating. Any exercise that you can do that builds up a good sweat will help your skin to flush out toxins. This includes running, jogging, weightlifting, and any other moderate to high intensity workout. This ties into cardio as well. A good cardio workout will help your circulation and improve the flow of nutrients to the skin for a smoother looking complexion. Next, on to the list of foods that improve the skin. Lycopene is a component that has antioxidant properties and it helps to give the skin elasticity and glow. Foods that contain lycopene include avocados and tomatoes. You can add these to any meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You can also have them as a snack or add them to any salad. Salmon, mackerel, and tuna are great sources of omega-3 fatty acid, and this is paramount in obtaining glowing skin and collagen support. If you're unable to get fresh fish or you don't like preparing it, you have the alternative of obtaining cod liver oil. Personally, I like Carlson Wild Norwegian cod liver oil. It's one of the purest cod liver oils on the market. It's also pretty expensive, but my family and I have been using it for years and we have had tremendous results. If you don't like the taste of the oil, they offer one with a lemon flavor. If you're unable to stomach the oil even with the lemon flavor, they also offer cod liver oil supplement capsules. Grapefruits, lemons, kiwis, and oranges are great sources of vitamin C. I mentioned this earlier in regard to adding them to water to make infused water. They work to reduce wrinkles and work to increase collagen production. They fight inflammation and they also fight against acne. There are many vegetables that contain vitamin C as well, like kale, chili peppers, red and yellow bell peppers. You could have a kale salad with carrots, tomatoes, and avocado. You could add chili peppers to this as well, and also red and yellow bell peppers to any meal. Vitamin E strengthens the skin and works to support the skin by reducing dark spots and promoting skin regeneration. Salmon, tuna, tilapia, and codfish are great sources of vitamin E. Vegetables that are good sources of vitamin E include asparagus, spinach, and sweet potato. You can also incorporate vitamin E into your day as a snack by eating almonds, peanuts, and pistachios. Vitamin A helps the skin by evening out pigment, boosting collagen production, and reducing fine lines. Eggs and milk are a great source of vitamin E. Legumes like black-eyed peas are also a great source. Raw carrots and pumpkin are significant sources as well. Fruits that contain vitamin A include cherries and cantaloupe. That's going to do it for Season 2 of Episode 4 of the Living Healthy Podcast. I hope you found this podcast informative, beneficial, and I hope that I've motivated you to make the decision that you want to make. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. Living healthy creates a better you.